Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com. Yes. Woo!
Just give a little bit of time. With Michael Hersey and Diego Lopez.
I am, it seems...
sucks.
So exhausting.
But that's also why you surround yourself with a bunch of people and bring in guests all the time. So right. It's not just like... it's not like a podcast where you're just like one... or like whatever, one or two people just talking the whole time. You're like... because the thing is that Howard Stern is not particularly funny.
No.
But he knows it.
Yeah, he's evocative, I guess.
Yeah.
You know?
He's a good quarterback of conversation.
Yeah, and he's an unbelievable interviewer. Mm-hmm. But he's also, like, surrounded himself with funny people and also a lot of people with Down syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
So, which, you know, you can, that could be funny.
I think so.
But, yeah. But Opie and Anthony was never like a... but Whip About Wednesday was a thing where you had a sticker... you put a sticker on your car that said, wow, or like truckers would like write it in the dirt. Yeah, yeah. And you'd be like women to show you their tits.
Oh, whip out tits. Not. I was assuming penises.
No.
No one ever says whip out for tits.
I know. But I think back then no one said it for dicks either.
Oh, okay.
I think now it would be understood that you meant your dick.
Yeah.
Whip it out. Come on, whip it out. What's that from? Whip. Oh, Louis. Okay, something to go. There's a scene where, oh, wow, yeah.
Well, he pulls his penis out in front of someone?
No, where a girl, when he's a little, in like high school, a girl asks him to whip it out and he gets nervous and then he goes and finds her on Facebook and then meets her in person. It's a good episode. He's great. does anybody else hear that humming noise?
No.
That's just me?
I mean, I always have a ringing in my ears. So
okay,
it's
never mind.
Like,
I haven't heard silence in 25 years.
Oh, okay.
I truly, like, I... I'm dog sitting now, and the room I'm staying in doesn't have like a TV or anything in it, and my laptop, the speakers are so bad I can't listen to anything on it.
Oh,
so I'll like listen to stuff on my phone, but then I'll just be like, it'll like stop, and I'll just be like laying there in the silence, and I'll be like, well, I sure do have a loud ringing in my head still. I sure couldn't hear less.
Oh man,
I am like, I don't know if it has become more, like, if I have even more hearing loss lately or if I just am finally noticing it.
Right.
But anyway, I'm just like, I really can't hear. I met a woman.
What?
Yeah. No, I met a woman who I was, like, a fan of her work.
Mm-hmm.
And
Chelsea Clinton?
It was Cameron Chelsea Diaz. Clinton. It was both. But I got introduced to her, and I couldn't – and she was so – I was trying to talk to her. And we were at like a loud party, and she was much shorter than I thought she would be.
Mm-hmm.
And so the entire time she was talking to me, it was nothing.
Oh no!
And I was just like, "Uh huh,
oh,
yeah."
Oh man,
that I was
sucks.
Just looking at. I was just right. being like, just agreeing with her
sure.
all the time. Be like, "Yeah, uh huh, for sure, all the time." I hate myself, like you know, just like all the things I like to say.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No, it's fine.
Yourself.
I think you gotta say. In that situation from now on, I think you got to say, I don't hear very well.
Yeah.
I played rock and roll music. I can't hear you very well. Can you sort of yell into my ear?
Yeah.
Because they'll feel bad for you. It won't be, nobody's going to be like, fuck you.
How dare you?
But I think it's a thing where it's, I just have never, like, I only have started kind of noticing it, I guess, in the last year or so. That's like, it's bad.
Yeah. Whereas, I think it's something you got to start. Like, when you can't hear a girl at a party that you want to talk to, you got to tell her.
Yeah.
Because like, if anything, it's going to be like, cool.
Yeah.
It'll bond you two. She'll be like, oh, you can't hear. That sucks.
Yeah.
Man. Let me try and make it easier for you.
Yeah. Stick my tongue in your ear.
Yeah,
stuff like that.
Yeah.
Cool stuff.
Yeah.
Because then that like just agreeing, it comes off weird and it doesn't form a connection well.
Oh, I've never formed a connection with anyone in my life.
Well, how am I in this room then?
I couldn't tell you.
Okay.
But no, we were at Diego and I were like at an open mic maybe a month ago or so. Mm-hmm. And we were sitting on like a long bench with a bunch of people and someone, I think four people away, was trying to like turn and talk down the bench at me and I went, you're too far. I got nothing here now.
Yeah, four people. Come on. What are you? Stupid.
What's up?
What are you, a stupid person?
Are you okay?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay. Have you been hitting the head a bunch in your life?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that makes a lot. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
A whole
actually.
Bunch.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. No one hears that.
No.
It's crazy.
Is it humming? Because I have a ringing in my
ringing.
Ear.
Yeah, it's like a.
Hold on. Yeah, I hear it ringing.
Okay.
Yeah, I hear it. I'm trying to figure out where it's coming from. I do
it's
not
so
know.
Interesting.
Oh, see, that's just what I hear.
Yeah, me too.
All of the time.
That's mind-numbing.
I usually hear it. This is just like, it's slightly off from what I usually
it's
hear.
It's like a dog whistle.
It could be a light. Sometimes lights
make noise.
Get on that frequency.
Or it's like a...
Just put new lights in. Let's see.
Or it's a guy, like, using a steel grinder two blocks away.
Yeah.
It could be, yeah.
Nope.
No, it's still there. I think we're all just the same amount. We're all of the same amount of tinnitus.
That's insane. I don't listen to anything loud. I don't
know
music
if I hear
shows.
It or not. No. I lost contact.
I've been doing a thing where, like, if I have headphones in, I see how low of the volume I could have it on and still listen. And pretty low.
Oh, dude, I can't. If I'm out in public, I can't hear most podcasts. Or if there's, like, as soon as a train is, like, down the tunnel, I'm like, well, I gotta pause this for
oh right you
minute.
Don't want to miss it. Yeah.
But like, because I have to like crank shit to hear it,
and that's builds on itself.
Yeah,
like
exactly
that, like
yeah, it's a vicious circle.
You're a snake eating its own
exactly
tail.
Yeah, because the thing is, well, it's like
situation.
Mm-hmm. It's like I need to listen to stuff so I don't hear the ringing all the time.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But I need to listen to stuff loud so I can hear it over the ringing and the world around me. What I think I need to do is I need to move to a field.
Yeah.
Or a lake.
Oh, how are you gonna live in a lake?
Yeah. What
like
you
near start? A lake? Like I'm
oh,
not gonna
okay.
live in the lake. I'm
so
gonna
it
live.
It seems like
a...
you're gonna live in a lake.
Oh, I mean,
Lady of the Lake, Micah Brucey.
There's a Long Island Lady of the Lake who just it's.
Well, tell me.
Of course, I will. But first, I would like to get to the place where I'm going to live.
All right.
Okay. So I'm not just going to live.
Wait
in
a second. Can I interrupt?
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this the podcast?
Yeah, this is the podcast.
Oh, when did this start?
Oh, yeah. About 2 minutes ago.
Oh God.
Probably
humiliated.
Why? No, you don't have your radio voice on?
Yeah, I was going to do. I had 43 bits. I was going to start with.
Oh, we just go in.
Oh man, I had so many startup bits.
Do you want to do them anyway?
Heyo! Welcome aboard, zingers. That was one of them.
Yeah, yeah. And you have 42 more.
I have 42 more. Yeah.
That's great.
Wait, I'm gonna start a tally. And see how many we can get through the whole.
That's fun. That's fun.
Well, I'd prefer that we just stopped with that one because
no,
the listeners can assume they're all equal or better.
I already started writing out the words B-man's bits.
Oh,
great.
Man.
And B-man. I underlined it. And now we have one hash
that's
mark.
That's great.
Well, welcome to a Little Time Podcast. I might as well just do it then.
Okay, yeah.
I'm Diego Lopez. Micah Brucey is here. Producer Leif is here with his beautiful goatee. Give him a little wave on the cameras.
See, that's a full beard.
It's a full beard. He was touching the chin part. I don't know how to call that, the chin
okay.
part. And we're joined.
His chin?
His chin. Sorry. Ah, makes sense.
Oh, that's right. I have a mic. I keep forgetting I put one over here for me today.
That's
smart. Hey, buddy. You have two mics.
Hello.
Hey, there's one here.
There's also
one
me.
There. Give him a little kiss.
Also me. Thank
okay.
you.
Okay. And we're joined by our dear friend and very funny comedian, Brendan Ayer. Hi. As you heard, the bits number one is down the drain. And you're no caller ID. Mike, you owe somebody money.
yeah, for sure.
Yeah. Hi, Brendan.
Hello.
What's up, bud?
Nothing. What's this podcast called?
A Little Time.
I'm honored to be here. And I think that this is my favorite podcast I've been on.
Yeah?
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, thus far.
That's great.
How many of you? You've been on a good amount, though.
Every podcast.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I can't think. I did 49 episodes of Serial. I played Adnan.
Also, that's fiction.
What? Oh, yeah. Adnan, not real. I played Adnan, and my friend played the other guy. And
how specific, my friend. Other guy.
My friend played the other guy, and the crazy part is, my friend for the podcast, my friend killed that girl.
Oh, so that part was real.
That part was real. Yeah.
I love that.
That was I forget her name, but he killed her.
But she's dead, so it's fine.
Well, no, I mean I was upset at the time, but then the ratings came in, and I said, you know, I'll be upset all the way to the bank.
You gotta get all that podcast money.
Yeah, there's a lot of money in podcasting if you're in with, you know. Casper mattresses or MailChimp
murdering people.
Yeah,
that helps
sure,
money.
More, murdering people.
Scentbird, that's a new one.
Scentbird?
Yeah, yeah.
Is that just a bird that smells good?
I wish it was
that would be great.
That'd be great. They're like, oh, this is a bird.
I think my least favorite thing about birds
yeah.
is how bad they smell.
Yeah, they got a real sweat smell.
They don't smell good.
No. And they shit where they live.
I don't think they know they shit.
I have a question.
Uh-huh.
If a bird, say you see a bird.
I swing on it immediately. I try to fight it.
And it's eluded you. But say you see a bird.
Yeah.
And it goes from a branch down to the ground, pecks around for a while, then flies back up to the branch.
Yeah.
Like, as you'll often see with a bird.
Oh, yeah.
Did it have a plan? Or do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
did
yeah.
it think through, like, is a bird brain developed enough where there was a, like, okay, I'm going to go down there. Obviously not in words,
but in
concepts. Like, I'm going to go down there and eat, uh-huh. then I'm going to come back to this area. Or is it pure instinct?
I think they have a one-beat thought process.
Yeah.
They don't have a two-beat where, like, there, then back. I think it's there. Oh, okay, back. Like, it's
right,
that kind of thing.
Okay, but seeing a bird go from the tree where it lives down to the ground to eat, back to its tree, that's like watching you leave your house, go to the bodega, get a banana, walk back.
That's what I'm
saying. I think that's the whole thing.
It might be there's these I've been staying with a friend, and there's these birds that live outside her window. And they just leave in the morning and come back at night like they have jobs. It's really weird.
Yeah,
I don't know where they're...
Where are you going to go get?
I don't know what they're doing all day. It's just like, stay in your tree. You don't have, you know, you're a bird. That's one of the great parts about being a bird.
Yeah, you can just hang out.
Yeah.
But I guess it's also like, if you could fly, why wouldn't you?
Right. And they're very light. I think flying's easy.
Oh, yeah.
Because birds weigh very little.
Mm-hmm.
I wish I was a bird.
What kind of bird?
Crow.
Oh.
I'd be a crow for sure.
They're the ones that they know the reflection.
Yeah.
They're one of the few animals I know that's
crows are
they're really smart.
Crows are extremely intelligent.
That's why I would be a crow.
They're not good to have in captivity for some reasons that are escaping me right now, but if you do happen to have one in captivity, which is rare, they can talk like parrots.
Oh, really?
Shit. Yeah. There's these crows in Japan that live near a walnut farm. And they've learned to do this thing where they take the walnuts when there's a red light and they put them under car tires and then they go back off and then the light turns green, the car tires smash the walnuts, and then the crows eat the inside,
holy shit.
Have shelled the walnuts. Yeah. They're like the only bird that's learned to use tools.
That's fucking crazy.
So
nuts.
You picked well.
Thank you so much.
That's a great one.
I would be a crow, obviously.
Be a crow.
One. I love stealing. I can't get enough. Two, I love pranking people.
They prank, yeah.
I love pranking people. Three, I love to be a racist caricature in a Disney movie.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Nothing makes me happier. Four, I love that Bruce Lee's son is dead.
And Bruce Lee's also dead. Yeah.
Yeah, but the fact that his son is also dead is nice.
I'm gonna leave.
Yeah.
I'm a huge Brandon Lee guy.
I'm so sorry.
I always have been, and I will no longer do this podcast.
What else of Brandon Lee's do you like?
I like all of his work. I like I like the Crow. I like when he died.
Was that his first break? Like, I feel like I haven't seen anything else he was in. Did he do anything else?
Brandon Lee. I couldn't tell you.
I'm going to look it up.
Most of the thing I know about him is that he is dead.
Right.
And the second most I know is that he was in The Crow.
He was in the sequel to The Crow, right? He wasn't even in the first Crow.
Was he not in the first Crow?
Yeah, Brandon Lee.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've never seen The Crow.
I never have wanted to see The Crow.
No.
I like Crows, the bird, not the movie.
It's fine.
But would you watch the birds?
I've seen birds.
Yeah.
Is it the birds or birds?
I think it might just be birds, and I just like the thrill of those.
I've seen that.
Yeah.
I was pretty scared.
Yeah,
but I was pretty young. I don't know if I'd be scared now.
I think it's still like, I feel like I've watched it probably more recently than however young you were.
Yeah.
I was probably like a teenager when I saw it, and it's still like unsettling.
Yeah.
For sure. The ending of Birds.
Oh,
Alfred Hitchcock.
Yeah. So he died filming of The Crow with a prop gun.
Yeah.
An accident happened with a prop gun.
So they put a real bullet in a prop gun?
No, a piece of the blank came out.
Yeah.
Oh.
Which is, so one of my friends works for the biggest, like, prop house in the country. And they, like, it's here in Manhattan. Or it's another in Queens. But they have, like, a huge arsenal of guns. And when guns in movies are just real guns that shoot blanks. Like, they're not they're not like plastic guns. They're just real guns.
Yeah.
So one night I had a really hard week and we all went to shoot blanks at the arsenal place, his studio, basically. Yeah. And it's like, whatever amount of guns you're imagining now, it's more than that. Okay.
I'm imagining 1 million guns.
Okay. Well,
that's what I am imagining. All right, well, at all times.
Quadruple it.
4 million.
4 million guns.
I'm thinking of a Niagara Falls of guns.
Well, you know what I just learned, which is not to contradict you.
Please.
But so for a shooting scene, mm-hmm. the guns are real with blanks. But for any other scene, because they're still kind of real guns and dangerous, for any other scene with a gun, there's generally a rubber stand-in.
Oh, yeah.
As soon as they shoot, someone comes and takes that gun away. Anytime they're like running with the gun or like drawing a gun or tossing a gun to someone, that's a rubber replica.
That totally makes sense,
Which is, we should get some.
If I was a filmmaker, which I am.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would do the opposite, and I would make it always a real gun with real bullets in it. And I would say, choose your actions carefully.
Yeah,
that would be my
Your ass.
Yeah. I'm just saying, hey, you wanna act like you know how to hold this gun,
right?
And then they just hold it for like a long time, and I say, put it in your mouth.
Yeah, that's good.
Feel the barrel.
I feel like you're not gonna have a very long career.
Taste the gun grease.
Yeah.
Like, who's that? That director who like makes like made like teenagers have sex in a movie?
Me.
No.
Was it me?
Yeah, I think it was you.
Well, that's like what's his name? Luke Besson? I don't know, the French guy.
Yeah.
He just got like Me Too'd for some sort of underage thing.
Yeah.
And it's so, we're all such idiots after having seen The Professional and not having been like, somebody watch this guy. We got to keep an eye on this guy for the rest of the time. I just always like, great movie.
Wonderful. Well,
but
fun.
In hindsight, it's like, yeah, of course, this guy, you know, not okay.
He wanted to be near a young girl very badly.
Well, they also like, apparently that script was changed considerably because Natalie Portman's parents were like, well, why is this guy in love with her? And so it was even like mellowed out further. But there was still like a weird sexual tension between Leon and 11-year-old Natalie Portman.
Jesus Christ.
And I just remember being like, this is a great movie.
Yeah.
And then it turns out that was his thing. I shouldn't say that for sure. I don't know exactly what he got Me Too'd on, but it's something.
I'm sure.
Yeah,
you're not wrong.
Right.
I believe you 100%. Whenever you say anything.
Thank you. Yeah. He for sure did something sexually inappropriate. I shouldn't say for sure. I don't know, but he's been accused of that, and I choose to believe it.
Yeah. Absolutely. What was that? Are you thinking of the one, the teenagers having sex? You were saying in a movie. Is it that Brooke Shields movie?
Blue Lagoon. I think they were brother and sister too.
Oh, even better.
I mean, not in real life.
Yeah.
In the movie, right? Didn't they?
I think so. I would love to say I know anything.
There's that movie, and I think of a movie Michael Pitt was in. I wish I'd remember.
Is Michael Pitt? He's not related to Brad Pitt.
I like Michael Pitt
a lot.
He's great.
He's underutilized.
Yeah. He's
Which one's Michael Pitt?
Boardwalk Empire.
He was the slick back hair guy. He's also in the movie Bully, that's based on my high school.
That's a great movie.
He's the stubble guy in Boardwalk Empire.
No.
Is he one of the gangsters?
He's one of the gangsters.
Everyone in Boardwalk.
He's
just a guy on the boardwalk.
He's just a guy who works in the mayor's office.
Yeah. He's the guy who invented cotton candy.
That would be nice.
He's very handsome, I think.
That's who I'm thinking of. No, that wasn't who I'm thinking of, but I know him.
Yeah.
Oh, Puffy Leonardo DiCaprio.
Okay. Although that could now also be Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah.
Because between films, at the age he is at now, he's allowed himself to get a little puffy, which I think is a great look for him.
Oh, okay.
I think, why not?
Yeah.
I've allowed myself to get puffy through between all of my films.
Mm-hmm. Me too. Diego trains me.
Yes.
At Jiu-Jitsu, we should let the listeners know. But I've taken a hiatus for about the last year, and I took strictly to powerlifting.
Okay.
Which, if you've ever seen a powerlifter, like that powerlifting is only squatting, deadlifting, and benching.
Yeah.
And you do assistance exercise and stuff. But I don't know why I did that, because if you've ever seen a powerlifter, they all look like they're all just fat and squat.
Right.
Yeah. So it was, worked out great. I can deadlift a lot. Yeah. Like, it did nothing for my body composition.
Right, yeah. Right. I used to work with a like semi professional powerlifter.
Yeah.
And he was the biggest man, because he was also like, I don't know, 6'4" or something. So he was just the biggest person I've ever seen. But he didn't care about definition.
Right, right.
He only cared about being able to lift more.
Numbers.
And he would just eat, like, a full pizza and be like, well, I'm going to go work out later. I'm like, yeah, but also.
Well, that's my issue, is that, like, I work out pretty hard. Like, I run, like, 20 miles a week now. And I'm back training with Diego. So I'm working out pretty hard, but I just eat like an idiot. So you can't really, unless you have the time, unless you're like a professional cyclist and like are working out 12 hours a day, you can't like outwork out your bad eating habit.
Right. Yeah, you have to be like Michael Phelps.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to be like somebody who's burning thousands and thousands and thousands of calories a day, which is not not really. You have to be a
professional
athlete.
That's be your job.
Yeah.
That's your thing. That's all it is.
Right.
Dude, I get obsessed. I've like fallen down this YouTube hole multiple times where it's like you watch like bodybuilders eat, basically.
Yeah.
So there's sometimes we're like, oh, what's that fucking guy? The one of the world's strongest men, the American guy.
No idea.
Fuck, of course. Brian Shaw.
Okay.
Is
the Vice video one about him?
The one about the guy going to the supermarket?
Yeah.
Oh, Brian Shaw, like, tall, bald guy?
Yeah. So there's him. So there's like, you can watch, there's a bunch of videos of like showing you how much he pays for groceries every week and shit like that. But there was one I watched of like competitive bodybuilders.
Yeah.
On their cheat day, the day after a competition.
Oh, yeah.
And it was insane.
Well, because they barely eat anything when they're leaning out before a competition. I mean, bodybuilding is a whole different thing. Where bodybuilding is bizarre, because you build up your muscle and then you fully lean out. And during that time period, you are going to lose some muscle.
Yeah.
But you get like, they do the same thing as cutting weight for a fighter.
Yeah.
Where they get to body fat percentages that are like crazy small. Yeah. And then that's why their muscles look so defined.
Yeah.
It's just their skin feels paper thin.
Yeah.
And then, so then the day after, it's like, oh, we're both eat. It was like one guy who like has a YouTube channel, I guess, and another bodybuilder. They're like, well, we're both going to go eat 10,000 calories today. And they're like, it's like the total of the calories is coming up on the screen and stuff. And they're like at an IHOP, and then they go to like a fucking, I don't even remember, they like go to a Cold Stone and go to all these other places and just like eat every, like, and also I'm like, well, this isn't too dissimilar from my diet. Regularly.
Depresses me when I see that. It's like, yeah, I eat a full pizza. Like,
yeah.
And I don't put it on YouTube. I just eat it. I'm hungry.
Yeah.
It would be really funny if you started putting it on YouTube, but you're like, yeah, I don't know. I'm just hungry.
Had a long day, kind of.
Yeah.
It's like, instead of bodybuilding, it's like body dismantling.
Yeah.
You're just like, I don't know. I just want to, I don't care anymore.
Yeah. This is just fun for me. I mean, that's how, whenever I was done cutting weight and the fight would be over, I was like, I can't fucking wait to eat everything. But then I'd like start eating a meal that was like bad, and like halfway through, I'm like, I can't.
Yeah.
My body's used to eating a certain amount,
right?
And I can't go back. It's gonna take a lot longer than I expected to just eat like pile on food.
See, I can.
Yeah,
I one time when I used to work at Starbucks, one of my coworkers was doing a fast. A week-long fast where you only could consume liquids. That was it.
Was it the, what was that?
There was no name for
it. Oh, okay.
He wasn't doing a named one. He was just just doing liquids for 7 days. And I was like, I didn't like him. So I was like, I'll do it too.
take a shot.
That's easy. So I did it. I did. I only drank for 7 days. And, you know, like, got my calories through like a lot of juice. Like,
okay, yeah.
Basically, a lot of juice.
Yeah.
And you're supposed to ease back into eating, because first of all, I slept unbelievably. That's like he was doing it for like some spiritual reasonings, and he was like explaining some of the aspects of it to me. And like one of the things that I don't know if it's true or not, it could all be bunk, but he was like, your whole life, since you were born, since you were conceived, or your digestive system has never had shut down. It's never stopped working because you are always eating. And so if you give it enough time to stop working, it has an incredibly calming effect on your body. Now, I don't, this sounds like it might not be true. Yeah. I don't really know. But I slept like amazingly. Like when I not eating. It was crazy. Like,
is it because you just didn't have any energy?
Possibly. But you're supposed to ease back into eating. There's a whole like plan to not shock your system where it's like start with vegetable broth, do this. I ordered 2 sheet pizzas and I ate 1.5 of them. I was so hungry, and my roommate at the time, John, he came home, and I was wearing camouflage shorts, no shirt, and just lying on the carpet of our apartment, just rolling around, like, groaning. And I was, like, half passed out. Like, I thought I was going to have to go to the hospital. It was horrible.
Oh, God.
It was not good. But so I'd recommend that. Anyone out there is looking for a program.
I had when I was younger, like 18, 19, I had a friend who would often do the Master Cleanse, that one that's like the cayenne lemon, and then maple syrup thing. And I was just like, oh, and now I'm just like, oh, I think he just had an eating disorder.
Right.
Yeah, I think
that's what it was.
Yeah.
But he putting a title on it that sounds kind of heroic. It's like, oh, you're doing something noble. It's like, nah. You're just,
but my old boss would do them. Like, because you do it for like 10 days or something. My old boss was this really, he was like an old New York hardcore guy who then in the 90s with a lot of other people became Hare Krishna.
Yeah.
And then he kept to it. And he would do that. He would do the Master Cleanse once a month.
Jesus.
Which is insane. He also didn't have a desk. He had like a coffee table that he would sit on pillows behind in his office.
Mm-hmm.
But it was just like, I can't imagine doing that once, let alone once a month.
I think you could do it once.
I think I could do it once, but I don't want to.
Right.
But I think you should do things you don't want to occasionally.
My whole life is only doing things I want to do. And I hate my life.
Yes, I'm right.
So Diego's absolutely right.
Yeah, when you say something and you realize you're wrong while you say it, but you keep saying it, that's literally everything I've ever
done. I've learned is that like our lives are pretty great and we're unhappy a lot of the time. So if you manufacture something that you can control that's not uncomfortable, it makes the rest of your actual life feel better. So, like, if you put yourself in a juice cleanse or something like this, and it's, like, miserable for that week or day, then your normal life then automatically feels better by comparison. That's why I feel about MMA a lot of times. Like, it's so uncomfortable and so exhausting and so painful that when it's done, it feels like such a release and relief that it's just like, oh, man, my fucking sitting on a couch? Are you fucking kidding me? That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
Like, I think it makes reality be a little clearer to how easy it can be.
An Indian friend of mine once told me it was in the context of my depression. I was talking about how I have depression and stuff, and he was saying how interesting it is to him how Americans have an expectation to be happy.
Yeah,
like he was saying, like most of the world, it's like, you just take life as it comes and are grateful for the happy moments when they happen to arrive, which is not often. And the rest of the time, you just accept that, life sucks a lot of the time. And he was like, most of the world feels that way. And Americans and Western Europeans have this concept of like, no, I deserve to be happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's not necessarily universal. Like a lot of cultures are more willing to like sit in unhappiness.
Yeah.
I think that's why people are so unhappy, because we set such a high bar of expectations. Yeah. Like, I'm not happy this very moment.
Right.
Things are bad.
Right.
And it's like, no, it's just reality.
I think it's because of that thing where it's like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, where people think it's like.
Did you make that up?
I did.
That's pretty good.
That is pretty good. Well, it's like, but they think like, but they kind of forget about the pursuit part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They're like, oh, well, no, I was born in America, so I should, everything should be good.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Or like, you know, emotionally.
Right.
Because I don't want to get into a whole everything should be good fucking socialism debate thing.
I hate debates.
I would usually lose them because I'm wrong, which is really damaging to my ego.
Well, you know what the worst is? When you're when you get into a discussion with someone who you know is wrong, but also they're much better researched than you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So you're like, yeah, look, man, I don't know, okay? I just know you're wrong.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And they have all these facts, and you're just like, fuck, no, listen, dude. I'm telling you, you're wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Your facts, you have them, but they're wrong as well.
Yeah.
That's like all those like Gavin McGinnis or like Jordan Peterson, kind of those like weird guys on the right, where they like bombard interviewers. Because the interviewers are just so why do you think like that? And but these people are not like, because that's a weird thing where it's like stuff like whatever your one stance on anything is. If like no matter what side of like identity politics you're on or things like that, if that's the one thing you think about all the time, you're gonna have more points than a person who is not. It's not their life.
Right.
So either way, you're just like, I just want you to know that you are wrong.
Right.
Yeah.
And I can't prove it.
At the moment.
But I just want you to know that you're wrong, and I am so correct. So
there you go.
Good. Great debate.
Good.
So, come be in my movie.
Yeah.
Put the gun in your mouth.
Fucking wrap your lips around this.
Wrap your lips.
I can't wait to make a movie and just make people put guns in their mouth.
Can I be in it but not have a gun in my mouth?
No.
I'll be in it and put a gun in my mouth.
Thank you.
Easily.
Some
day
people,
one.
So, some people support my dream.
I'll show up with my own gun in my mouth.
It's a BYOG situation.
That's great. SAG is you know, they're not are part of it because they don't appreciate that kind of stuff, but I think we're better off without
them. The Screen Actor's gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's SAG.
That's SAG for you. That's beautiful.
This is a great podcast you guys have.
Thank you so much.
What's it about? Does
That's
it have
it.
A theme?
No.
No theme.
Just us.
It's good. That's what I like.
Yeah.
I don't like homework. I think it's.
I hate
homework. For comedy.
Oh, God.
When you got to do a whole. You're like, I don't know. I'm just like, all right. Here's the thing where you're like, I'm all right at talking. I thought I was better.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why I started doing comedy. And then I realized, like, I'm all right at it. So just let me do that.
Yeah. Once this guy, homework reminded me of this, I think it's time to. Is it time to be done?
No.
Oh,
we still got a little.
No.
Once this guy.
50%.
Oh, I saw like a 3-minute signal. I got confused.
No.
I think he was just telling us that we've already done 30 minutes.
That we've done three out of 5 stars.
Yeah. We need to keep working. We're almost there.
We've got the 2 sign, 2 out of 5. I'll take a 2 out of 5.
Yeah.
Usually I'm involved in 1 out of 5 apps. And the health department comes and shuts down the podcast.
Yeah.
We get agreed.
Yeah, our podcast already has a C rating right now.
We had a whole semester to do this like big presentation that you were supposed to do on like poster board in high school for something. And this guy, Rob, that everyone liked, just turned in like a ripped sheet of notebook paper. And he was also going bald. So then everyone just from then on called him Baldy Bad Project.
What a long nickname.
Yeah, and also so descriptive.
Yeah.
Just like a feature about him and a thing he did.
Yeah.
And then just that's it for you. Like friendly. Like it wasn't mean. Like it was just like that's what you go by now. Baldy Bad Project.
I remember like thinking back on like projects I had to do in school and I'm just like, what? Like I can't imagine like how smart I thought I was.
Yeah.
And then imagine just like being a teacher being like, no. I don't even remember what the context was. I think it was like a government class or something.
Yeah.
And I just did a whole project on violent lyrics in songs. And I think I just put like heavy metal lyrics and rap lyrics on a cardboard. And I was like, pretty violent.
These lyrics are so violent in society today. There must be change made for lyrical violence.
And I was just like,
by Mike.
Thank you. Bowing.
Yeah. And good night to everyone.
Also, I like both of these.
Yeah.
So it was just like songs I liked that I typed up, and I was like, oh, this one's actually pretty bad too.
Mm-hmm.
And just like, what the fuck was I even. It was for some. That was like right before I dropped out of high school. Where I was just like, I was shocked I even did the thing.
Right.
Yeah, that was great. I thought that was a great project. I give you an A.
Thank you so much.
I really enjoyed that project, and I not only that. To me, that qualifies you to have graduated. I think I wouldn't call yourself a dropout.
Thank you so much. I've told every job I've ever had thinks I graduated high school.
Well, sure.
Yeah. That's what I told them.
Yeah. You don't. Tough to get a job as a high school dropout. My grandfather claims to have dropped out in third grade.
Okay.
Which I don't think is dropping out. I think that's your parents not telling you about fourth grade.
Well, you're like, third grade. Well, you're all done. Good job. Off to the farm.
You can't drop out as a third grader. Yeah. Yeah, he's got a third grade education, which is crazy. That was just a thing that was like, okay. Yeah.
Well,
you're done with school.
Yeah.
You sure are nine now, so go get a pitchfork and work in this field.
I think our parents have like a ninth grade education.
Yeah.
Like a seventh, I can't remember what, something. They're not educated, but neither am I, so.
Yeah, but you graduated high school.
I graduated high school, which is I think a lot to expect as of a first generation immigrant. What's the word? What's the phrasing? First generation?
I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, you're first generation American.
American.
I'm half first generation American.
Oh, okay.
My dad was born in Ireland.
That's right. To go to college. Let me just finish high school, and that's movement in the right direction.
Oh, okay. So do you think, like, but your parents, so were your parents, like, I guess because you were the second?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember how they felt when your brother graduated high school?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, no. I thought that
because he had to go to summer school.
Oh, okay. And what about when you? Because you graduated regular.
I didn't. I didn't walk, but I feel bad because I'm like, oh, my sister would graduate, and then they'll get to see her graduation, and she did not graduate.
Really?
Yeah. She also had to do like some weird like extra thing at the end of high school.
So you guys
and like, oh, my fucking immigrant parents didn't get to see any of their children walk at graduation. Yeah. I'm a piece of shit.
That's all right. You graduated.
They're probably too busy at work to go anyway. Because they have to work really hard.
Oh, yeah. They,
that was like the thing. It wasn't like, not that they don't love you.
I mean.
No, he didn't walk.
No, I know. I'm saying
there
even
was nothing
if
to go to.
Even if you did.
Even if
you did, they would have been too busy working, whatever.
You're hypothetically defending his parents loving him when there was no issue of whether they loved him or not.
No,
parents love you.
No, I
don't
think
worry.
I was hypothetically like doing like a weird thing, being like, I don't know, some like immigrants work so hard thing that I don't believe because I think they all should go back to where they're from. But just specifically your parents.
My parents. Yeah,
specifically your parents should go back to where they're from.
Yeah.
Because I want to go on vacation with them.
Yeah, let's go
so badly.
I take you to Colombia.
I would love to go to Colombia.
I'm like, yeah, I was here 20 years ago. What's up with that one guy that had like a cool candy shop here? Like, he died. I was like,
oh no.
Really? He was only 90.
He was a young 90.
That's like what people like ask me, like, oh, what's Ireland like? Because I've been there a bunch of times.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, I don't know. You go around to a lot of old people's living rooms.
Yeah.
And
they ask you how to touch
things.
They
give you some cookies and they're your cousin or something, but you just call everyone your aunt and your uncle.
Yeah.
And then you just go around for a few days and come home.
Yeah.
That's what's there.
That's like when people would ask me because I've like seen most of the country because of like playing in bands.
Yeah.
But I saw it in that context.
Right.
Where they're like, so what do you think of San Francisco? I was like, well, the one garage I was at that I
yeah,
played a show
yeah,
in was
yeah.
nice. And then they're like, I was like, I've been to San Diego. And people are like, what'd you do in San Diego? I was like, I ate at a Taco Bell that had seating on the roof.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
gotta go
nice.
To San Diego.
I would venture to say, and I clearly have not been to even a significant percentage, any type of percentage of the Taco Bells in the country,
yeah.
but I would venture to say that might be the nicest.
It was okay.
How could you top that?
Okay, but the thing is, the inside was not very nice.
Wow! So they just blew their whole budget.
Yeah, so
on roof seating.
Yeah, so it was crazy. The inside was like very dark and like dimly lit, and it was weird because it was on like the corner of a building, and it was very odd. And then you like walk in, you get your order, and then you're like, we're like, oh, there's like, we didn't even know that there was seating on the roof. Like
right,
we just
yeah.
went to Taco Bell because
right.
we didn't have any money.
Who would guess that?
Yeah, and then we're like. We're like, what's this staircase? And they're like, oh, you can go sit on the roof. And we're like, we can go sit on the roof. and then we looked at the beach while eating at Taco Bell.
Oh my god.
That's
it was
very nice.
It
so
was
there was
really...
like Taco Bell seats up there. It wasn't like just random like picnic furniture.
No, it was like kind of like, you know, that like heavy wire coated in rubber seating.
Yes, yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
It's like, grid like that would be on like occasionally in the old days a McDonald's would have an outdoor area.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And that's what the
so,
seats would
so
be.
So it was like that.
Okay.
That
okay.
kind of stuff, but up on the roof.
Okay.
With nothing over it.
Do you, I'm going to go ahead and just ask the fans, if anybody lives near this goddamn Taco Bell, send us a picture, please.
Yeah, I went there once just because we had a show in San Diego, and then we had a day off, mm-hmm. and our the singer of my band at the time like got tattooed by this guy who lived in San Diego.
Taco Bell.
He lived in Taco Bell. So he was
Taco Bell Freddy.
Yeah, TBF. Obviously, yeah, I mean, he's one of the most highly respected Taco Bell related tattoo artists in the country.
Yes.
But so he was just off getting tattooed, and the rest of us were just like, "What the fuck did we do?" So we didn't have it. We were like halfway through the tour, and then we were like, our van had already broken down twice, and we were just like, I think we were like had like broken spirits,
right?
So then we were just like, I don't know, we'll like walk by the beach for a while. We like went in the ocean for a little bit, which was nice. It was the first time I'd ever been in the Pacific Ocean.
Mm.
And then we just were like, well, there's a Taco Bell here, and most of us are vegetarian or vegan, so we'll just, not knowing that it's like we're in San Diego, we're like 15 minutes away from Mexico. We can go to like
wonderful vegan
any
Mexican
kind of, yeah.
food. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you don't when you're like younger like, and you're this is probably like pre kind of close to pre smartphone where you could find a place. Maybe not.
So I was like
maybe you're just a fucking idiot.
No, I think the thing is that I was like 20.
Yeah,
or 21.
So this was before it was easy to look up, okay, like
right,
vegan
right,
food,
right.
Yeah, yeah,
San
yeah.
Diego.
And we didn't have any friends there, really, yeah, so we were just like...
Or anywhere.
Yeah, I mean, I have friends in a lot of places, okay? Long Island, New York City. I got two friends in Indiana.
Indiana?
yeah, that's about it. But we were just like, oh, let's just go to this Taco Bell, and we just ate on the roof of the Taco Bell, and I was like, that's like a nice memory to have.
There's something thrilling even, now this is not as nice as that, but even anytime you're in a fast food place and there's more than one level, there's something exciting about it.
Yeah.
Like if you're in like a Times Square McDonald's and there's an upstairs, you're like, whoa, a two-story.
Yeah, mm-hmm. the Burger King on Myrtle in Ridgeland.
Yeah, yeah, where you're like...
You can just look out onto Myrtle Avenue.
You're like, it's its own world up here. You have no employees, do whatever you want.
Yeah, oh man. We should record this. Leif, can you bring all your recording equipment to the Burger King on Myrtle so we can just record there instead?
Yep, I'll meet you there.
Cool, thank you so much. Cool. I really appreciate that. How agreeable is that? That's so nice.
It's the only one I could find. Beachfront, Taco Bell, I looked it up. That's all I got.
All right. Yeah, see, this isn't it, but this is very nice looking.
It looks very nice.
Well, now there's all those cantinas.
Yeah,
those
so this
are
is pre-cantina.
Right. Cantinas are pretty new.
This was still like gray and pastel color scheme.
What's a cantina?
A Taco Bell cantina is like, it's like a new, very nice inside, and you can buy alcoholic drinks there.
Yeah, it looks like this looks like
is
a barn.
Is it like trying to compete with Chipotle? Is it like trying to be a step
up? Yeah, yeah,
I think so.
I like Chipotle too.
I like Chipotle a lot. I like a lot of things that are bad for me. No, Chipotle's okay in the scheme of quickly made food, but I also like fast food.
Oh,
I
love it.
I like bad things.
Yeah, you made a list of like a...
That's how, when I used to lose, when I lost close to 60 pounds, mm-hmm. and all I did, the only thing I did, I didn't change anything, I just had a list that was no pizza, no sandwiches, no french fries, no chips, and no cheese.
Right.
That was it. Five things. Cut those out of my diet. Other than that, there were no limits on
amount,
what I ate.
Oh, yeah.
That's anything. And I lost 60
pounds. So funny.
Yeah.
That's when we were all, when the three of us and a fourth person were all, we would all hang out a bunch and we'd go to the diner all the time and you would just be like, can I have 12 eggs? You'd be like, can I have 24 eggs and also a mountain of sausage links?
I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Wait. I'm trying to remember who this fourth person was. Who was she associated with? Or was it a she?
It was a she. I'm going to have her write it down. I don't know why I'm not naming the name.
Well, it seems like a name not to be named.
I just think that her and I had a falling out. And...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So it was the four of us. We
yeah, like, I forgot about
yeah.
that.
Well, we had like a little crew. Because
it was like 2 weeks long.
Yeah. Because the three
our
of us.
Crew made
no,
it,
yeah, was, yeah. it was a while. I would say it was a good few months,
but
2 months.
The three of us have always
of course.
Been
solid.
Yeah.
What was our nickname? We had a group text
nickname
that was very funny.
I forgot.
The rat something.
I don't know.
God damn it.
I like a podcast where we just talk about something that we can't reveal to you.
Yeah. I love it.
It's a secret.
But it's, I think it's because her and I had an odd falling out.
Yeah, I would say so.
But that sounds cool.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably ask you about that after this.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I finally get to be the person that's like, we'll talk about it after the podcast.
Yeah, we'll talk about it. I love that.
Can I tell you guys some sweet bod mod I did today?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And a lot of people would hear that and think body modification. No, this is bottle modification.
Oh, all right.
I took the cap. I've got a Poland. I've got a Poland Springs.
A big one too.
I've got a big boy. I've got a 50.7 fluid ounce Poland Springs water bottle.
The big boy.
What I did.
It's like a yard of water.
Yes. And I refill this. I use this kind of as my cup. My daily. This is my daily drinker. And
let me take a picture of that for the.
And so you can't get this. You cannot get this size of a bottled water under any brand with a sucker top. Okay, by sucker top, I mean it's got a
sports cap.
It's got a sports cap where you undo it, and you can suck it, a nipple as if you were a stupid baby. And so what I did is I thought to myself, wouldn't it be incredible if they were using the same cap size diameter from the sucker cap bottles, which are 1 pint.
Yeah.
And they are. So I just got one of those, drank it up, then did the transfer. Now I've got the cap I want on the bottle of choice. Now, I do think, being that I use a plastic water bottle as my reusable beverage container, I think that gives you some sort of poison.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
But I'm okay with that.
Okay.
BPA. I think,
there's something that, like, you really should put some sort of limit on it.
Yeah.
But I don't. Because
you're stronger than most people.
Well, and it's very big.
Yeah.
So I like it. I enjoy a big water.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of water.
Good.
But anyway, so that's been B-Man's bod mods.
Yeah, Brent has his own bottle segment corner.
Yeah, whenever you have a new one, you're welcome to come back on.
Thank
and
you.
Talk
about
it. Even if we have another guest.
Especially if we have another guest. They usually fucking stink.
We booked the worst guests.
Yeah. I would say I do the bulk of my water consumption on this podcast.
Really?
Oh. Yeah.
Are you still heavy into the dew game?
No.
You doing the dew?
No, not really.
We fall into a mineral water.
That's great.
Yeah.
Ritual.
That shit's bad for you.
I mean, I still drink it. I still drink soda for sure.
Yeah.
But definitely not as much as I used to, but also more than I should.
Yeah, but the baby steps.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much off Diet Coke.
Yeah.
I still will have one from time to time, but I'm pretty much off of it, and it's been good.
Because a lot of people will try to – because now, especially that I'm 30 – people are like, you really shouldn't be drinking Coca-Cola ever. And I'm like, I know this. It's the weird thing where it's like my justification for me is that I was like, I don't do anything else. I don't drink.
Right.
I don't do anything. I would like one thing that I do.
And not only that, the idea that you shouldn't be drinking Coca-Cola ever.
Yeah.
That's wrong. Like, it's bad for you. But it's okay to do things that are bad for you if you – know they are,
yeah,
and limit yourself and are doing it in moderation, like, you know what I mean, like,
yeah.
That's like saying you should never have cake. Now, I know you're a vegan, but there's vegan
cake. Yeah.
That's
a
last
like,
night.
And it's like, yeah, just because something's unhealthy.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I know Coke's unhealthy in a different way.
Yeah.
But still, like, you're an adult.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're allowed to have what you want to have.
Yeah.
Like, this idea that you can never do something to me is a
little ridiculous.
Bit,
yeah. I very much agree, and I always think that, like, even as someone who takes pretty good care of their body, it's like it's unhealthy to be that concerned about your health.
Right.
You should be able to be relaxed, and like there is an emotional kind of weight you're carrying when you're that concerned about every single thing. And
yeah.
It's like to be able to let go in a controlled manner makes it so that when you lose control inevitably, it won't be so big. It'll be like, you know, a can of Coke here and there is not going to be the worst thing in the world.
Also, I think it's a thing where it's like I'm already vegan and I'm already straight edge. I'm already like having to think about those things all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and that now I'm like, I'm just like, fuck, just let me have a fucking soda every once in a while.
Well, that's where I get irritated when people are like, you know, do you know how bad Diet Coke is for you? And it's like, I've seen you do cocaine.
Yeah.
Like, fuck off.
You drink every day.
Yeah.
I've been sober for, like, for coming up on 13 years. Like, get away from me.
Yeah.
That, it makes me so mad where it's like,
you don't know what I've already accomplished.
Yeah, dude, I used to fucking blow humongous lines of cocaine every day. Like, fuck you.
Yeah. My favorite is the people that tell me to switch to Diet Coke. I'm like, you know, that's also not good for, like.
Yeah, it's, and it also is, because I was a Diet Coke guy. And the reason being, my mom, we always had Diet Coke around.
Yeah.
Because my mom drank Diet Coke. So I never liked the taste of
Coke.
I prefer the taste of Diet Coke. But it's bad, it's just as bad for you in different ways.
Yeah, exactly.
Coke, you'll get diabetes. Diet Coke, you'll possibly get cancer.
Yeah.
It's pretty much the...
Yeah, as simple as you can get it.
Yeah, and you'll also diet-wise, it's not helping you.
Because
it makes you crave sugar. The diet, even Diet Coke makes you crave sugar and makes you hungry.
Yeah, because the thing is, for me, my problem with soda was that up until I was 13, we only had Diet Coke in the house.
Yeah.
Because my mom is diabetic. Right. So we would only have Diet Coke. Plus, she didn't want us drinking soda all the time.
Right.
But then, because I turned 13, so my sister had already had a kid and was out of the house.
Yeah.
And then my parents got divorced. So then it was just me and my mom, and she was just like, I don't care anymore. It was like a horrific time for our family. And then she just started buying soda and would buy, like, it was kind of like when those, the long 12 packs came out, the fridge one.
I remember that change.
So that was kind of when
it
that
fits
first
in the fridge so easily.
Yeah. So and they would do it. My parents, for some reason, my mom would do a thing where she would buy those fridge ones and then just stack them up outside of the fridge anyway.
Yeah.
So they were always just kind of warm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I would just, and so I remember I was in middle school and she started buying those and I fucking lost it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was drinking like 6 a day.
Yeah. Sure.
Like I got a fucking soda bender and I was, but so then my whole life has just been like, always having drinks like that around.
This is such a great Coca-Cola commercial where it's just like, my sister got pregnant. My parents had just gotten divorced. Life was falling apart around me. And then came Coke.
And then I had Coca-Cola.
Yeah.
And also ShopRite brand. It was the ShopRite. My favorite was the ShopRite brand of Mountain Dew Code Red because it just tasted like a Shirley Temple.
Ooh.
In a can.
See, all that stuff is too sweet for me. All that
stuff.
Even as a kid, that stuff was too sweet for me. I just liked, I guess because of the aspartame and Diet Coke or whatever was in it at the time, I just never, the real sugar stuff that was like crammed with sugar, it made me feel sick. Like,
I think the thing is because of having Diet Coke, but not even, it wasn't that I wasn't allowed to drink it, it's that I didn't really want to drink it that much.
Yeah.
So I would have some, but then I would have like a real Coke and I'm like, oh, this is the stuff.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
this is what this is what my body has been asking me for.
Right,
but not even. But like,
it's no. I know what you mean.
What I want, and oh man, it has such a fucking hold on me.
Yeah,
it's bad.
I would drink when I was in the mental hospital, which you guys can message me if you want to talk about that.
Yeah,
we haven't talked about that at all. But my anxiety was getting so bad that I cut out caffeine totally.
Okay.
Which in the short term made me more anxious, but in the long term helped me a little bit. But so I would drink. So I got into diet caffeine free Coke.
Oh, the gold can.
And then it's
can.
Like, well, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what's now? What's the point of this? Like,
yeah.
But I just was the taste. Like, I needed I was addicted to the taste of it. And they had a soda machine there. It was great. One of the digitalized ones where you could pick like anything.
Oh.
We would like, you know, one of the ones that like mixes it inside.
The 100 flavor soda machine.
Yeah. Yes. So I could have been doing anything.
Oh my God. What self control?
Yeah. I could have been doing. And plus, they had cake every meal.
What?
Yeah. I think it was a thing of like, these people are crazy. Like, you got to give them something.
Something. Yeah. Yeah.
And so the first, like, after 2 weeks, I made a rule, like, no more cake. Because it was so good. And I would just eat cake lunch. It was there at breakfast, but I never had it at breakfast.
Uh-huh.
Lunch and dinner, I would have a piece of cake.
They had breakfast cake.
The cake was just always out.
Huh.
Breakfast cake is tied to one of my most vivid memories in my life.
Really? Did you
I saw American Pie, but as I told you, my parents got divorced and it was hard, so my mom would have cakes. So then one day, I cut a hole and I stuffed my cock right in there.
But it was angel's food, now it's devil's food.
Yeah. Ooh.
It was a big bun cake and it already had a big hole in the middle. I didn't really feel anything.
Yeah.
But I remember my parents were out of my parents were out of town on my birthday one year. Because my parents, I have a half sister who lives in Washington State.
Oh, your parents don't love you. That's why you. Okay, I got it. Yeah,
it all comes around.
Yeah, but they were. It was my half sister was graduating high school.
Yeah,
so they were out there. Like they went out to Washington to see her graduate, and it was my birthday. So I was staying at my parents' best friend's house. Yeah. Anne Marie and Corey, who were like two of my favorite people that have ever existed. Yeah. They gave me my first job. They're just like unbelievable. But I remember I was staying there. And she woke me up.
Can I stop you for one second? Yeah. I had an instinct when you said first job to cut it and say blowjob.
That's
so rude.
No, it's but just, they also gave me my first blowjob.
You're just talking about a nice family friend, and that was my instinct, and I feel terrible.
No, it's fine.
Go on.
It's fine. They also suck my dick.
Okay. All right.
Any kind of sentimentality can be undercut with a dick sucking joke on this podcast.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so I remember. And they woke me up on my birthday, and I unwrapped my present from my parents, which was a ring for my wrestling figures. It was the plastic Royal Rumble ring for my action figures. And then Anne Marie was like, "Time for breakfast," and I was like, "All right." And she was like, "Entenmann's devil food cake."
Oh my god!
And it was just a big wet piece of chocolate cake on a plate.
Wow.
And just being like, yeah, my parents are gone, but cake for breakfast,
that's
my
great.
Bitch.
I got a wrestling ring. I got cake for breakfast.
Yeah.
Fuck you, mom and dad.
Yeah. God. Hope you're gone every year.
Never come back because I'm living the high life.
Dude, I remember that. I fucking.
I want to buy one of those rings now.
Dude, I remember. I wish I still had that one. It was the Royal Rumble one.
Uh-huh.
And it had American flag colored ropes. And it was, I would stand up and salute it every morning. And, dude, it was so fucking,
I wasn't a wrestling kid. I wasn't into wrestling. I had friends that were. I just wasn't.
Yeah.
But even so, even as not a guy that, as a guy that didn't watch wrestling, I was jealous of my friends that had the ring and the guys.
Yeah,
Even as a non-fan, that was such a cool play setup. To have your guys and the guys, like a lot of the guys had good action on the arms.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you remember that? Where some of the guys would have a spring arm where they could do like certain moves where you could like get them to throw somebody.
Yeah.
God, that was cool. And I didn't even like know the guys. I still loved it.
Yeah. Because I remember what I would do before the ring was my parents had I gotta find it. It was this really cool. It was this heavy wooden box that had big metal handles on it and latches. It was probably only about a foot or 18 inches tall, and it was where they kept all their cassette tapes.
Mm-hmm.
And I would just it latched like it had these two, so it was like these big heavy metal latches on the front, on like the shorter
part. Okay.
So you would undo that and it would just open up.
Okay.
But then it would stop whatever at like at 90 degrees.
Yeah, I think so.
It would stop at 90 degrees. But it was just tall enough that I could kind of use it as the top rope.
Uh-huh.
And I would have all my guys jump off of that and do moves. But that was the ring was the rest of the house.
Yeah.
But I was like, I have this one corner. And so then when I got the ring, I was like, I don't got to. And it was like, for how young I was, it was a really heavy thing for me to carry. And I remember I just dropped it on my foot all the time and fucking hurt myself. But I was like, my guy's got to flip.
I remember like, I don't know why, but like. Like, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle toys and, like, G.I. Joes. I remember watching commercials for toys and really early on noticing that, like, a lot of the fun was had because of the things surrounding the toy. When we're, like, it'd be, like, you know, like, those commercials where, like, two kids are, like, playing and they bash through, like, something. And they're I remember going to, like, the mall. I'm like, Mom, where can I get, like, purple glass cubes?
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, where can I get, like a weird little...
Yeah, the setup.
Small palm trees or something. Like,
It's
very hard to get.
Or, like, that game Crossfire BBs, which was fun anyway, but it's also like in the commercial it's like they're in like a smoke filled like laser den and it's like that's way better how to play Crossfire.
You're like 40 Asian men like cheering
I don't have any fucking smoke.
I'm in the backyard and the sun's out
and I've already lost fucking half the BBs or the ball bearings, whatever they were.
They're sick.
Fuck you, Crossfire.
Crossfire.
Did you guys ever go to, like, I guess they don't, I feel like they don't exist anymore. Maybe I just don't go to any place like this. But I remember being obsessed. It was also weird to me that my mom let me do this. But she would, we'd go to the grocery store together. And it was in like a little, a complex, like a strip.
Yeah,
like a strip. There's a bunch of shit there. And now there's like a Walmart and it's like huge now. But there was a hobby store there. And I would, can we go there?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Cool. Do you want to go? Let's go to my hometown.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Oh, you mean right now?
I mean, whenever.
Okay.
There's not a lot to do there, to be honest.
Let's finish the story.
Yeah, but there was a hobby store like three doors. It was 3 doors away from the supermarket.
You could say 3 doors down.
I was going to, but I didn't. And I remember it was you leave there. There was you leave the grocery store. It was a pet store,
uh-huh.
A Tiger Shulman's Karate.
Yeah.
And then the hobby store. And I would go in there and just fucking bother these men. Just because I would go in there because I was I think I was just getting into playing Magic the Gathering because like all the kids in my like Boy Scout troop played it. And I was just like, oh, whatever, I'll go play. I'll play also. And it was one of those things where I like 80% learned how to play.
Right.
I like played enough. Yeah.
Clearly a Magic head.
Yeah,
cover story.
So the thing is that
I kind of know how to play Magic.
No. So like I had a lot of cards.
Yeah.
Because I would go and like, because the booster or whatever, like the 10 packs, that's what I could get with my allowance.
Yeah.
So I would just get those all the time.
Yeah.
But I didn't really, it was one of those things where it's like, the same with video games where it's like, I know the basics. I know how to play.
Right.
But then as soon as I start playing someone who really knows, I immediately lose and I'm not good. But I could probably still play Magic as long as I played the 1998 rules.
Yeah, it's changed a lot.
Yeah. It's kind of like Dungeons & Dragons where there's like additions.
Oh, right? Okay.
Which I also kind of played.
It's a funny way to like help me understand a nerdy thing by comparing it to a even more nerdier thing.
I don't know anything like that changes that much.
Sure.
Because it's like, with video games, it's like the rules are still the same. But it's like in Magic and Dungeons & Dragons and shit, it's like, they completely change.
Mm-hmm.
But so I would just go to this hobby store and I don't even know why I'm talking about this anymore.
Me neither.
Yeah.
But I think it was just the thing where it's like they just don't exist anymore.
I think they do. Like,
I think they're less around, but yes.
Was it when you say hobby store, was it primarily a gaming store or primarily like a crafting model building store?
So it was kind of both, where you could go there, you could get like Warhammer pieces to paint, or Dungeons and Dragons books, or Magic cards. But they also, I definitely also bought model planes there.
Okay,
and
so
shit
they
like
have.
That.
Diego's right. They're far less. That business has been decimated by the internet.
Yeah,
but there are. They still exist. The brick and mortar model stores still exist. There's one in Williamsburg.
The 20-sided die.
Yeah,
that store.
Oh, yeah, that
store
is still there. There's one in the city somewhere. I mean, they still exist. They're just. A lot of them,
closed.
And I feel
down.
Like they've also like joined hands with like chess shops and things like that,
or like video game stores.
Yeah.
There was also, I guess no, it was a chain also, but it's just a chain that doesn't exist anymore. Funko Land.
Oh yeah.
That was just like a video game store also, but I think they got bought up by GameStop.
Mm. I had a paper route, and literally all of the money that I made from my paper route, which wasn't much, because first of all. The paper route that I had, and this is still – some paper routes are still worked this way. I had to collect the money.
That's insane.
And it's like I'm 9.
Yeah.
Like, do you know how easy it is to not pay a 9-year-old?
I do it all the time.
Like, I was in charge of collecting the money. I mean, it was insane.
You had to be like a 9-year-old bookie.
Yeah. Like, I had to keep track of who paid for the paper. And
wow.
It's like,
so
but
nuts.
Anyway, every cent I made was stolen from me by this man that ran a store called Video Dugout. That was a video rental and baseball card store.
Oh,
and before my parents caught on, I would go in there every week. He would somehow fleece me into telling him how much money I had before he told me what card was on special. And then it would bring out a card that was exactly the money I had, and I'd buy it every time.
Wow.
Until finally, like, my dad found out what I was doing. It was, like, looking through the cards. Like, these are all worthless. Yeah. Like, every week it would be like, oh, $27? Here's a Ricky Henderson. This is going to appreciate considerably in the coming years. You're going to need this. And I'd be like, all right, $27. Yeah. Here you go. Every
Lucky
week.
Again. Yeah, God damn it. I'm killing it.
And it's just worthless. Worthless cards. Fucking guy just robbing a kid.
What a terrible person. Yeah.
But also, shrewd businessman.
Shrewd businessman.
Yeah. Taught you a good lesson.
He did teach him. That's like one time. I know it's a time to wrap up soon, but one time I showed these older kids. My brother had a cool bike. He had a Haro.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I remember Haros.
And I brought these two older kids from middle school. They were probably like 4 grades older than me or something, but they were like into bikes.
Yeah.
So I was like, you got to come check this out. I like took them to my parents' house and like showed them my brother's bike in the garage.
Yeah.
And like, and then the next day my brother's bike got stolen and like probably took 10 years. It just hit me one day, standing somewhere where I go, oh, those kids stole his bike.
The whole time you're like, I just showed it off. It's crazy.
It never, like, I never put it together where it's like, oh, yeah, of course.
So I had
you're just sitting in a dentist's office like, ah! Yeah. Those fucking kids.
Yeah.
I had this bike that I didn't, technically I guess I stole this bike.
Okay.
But it was like a kid left his bike at my house. And then it just became my bike.
That's his kind of on him. I mean, did he ask for it back?
Eventually.
And what was your response?
No. I went, you didn't leave your bike here.
Okay, well, yeah, you stole it.
You stole
it,
bike.
He should have been more careful.
Yeah.
But you stole it. But both parties, both parties share some blame.
But then, so what I did to cover up my tracks a little bit was my friend was, my buddy of mine from school was in the BOCES program, which in New York is like you kind of get half the day off of school and you go to this other place and you basically learn a trade.
Right.
So he was going and he was doing like automotive stuff.
Yeah.
So I gave him one day, I was like, these people, they know I took this bike and blah, blah, blah. So I had him, he brought the frame to school with him and he brought it to the BOCES program and then sandblasted all the paint off so we could repaint it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just repainted it the same color it already was.
I like that color.
I was like, oh, wouldn't it be cool if this bike was yellow? And he was like, it was already yellow. And I was like, yeah, but this is like a different yellow. And we just like spray painted it and it kind of just like chipped off. And then eventually that bike got stolen from me. And I was so mad. And then now I'm just like, yeah, but you stole the bike from someone else.
Yeah, I was going to say, as the story progressed, it became increasingly fascinating that you weren't sure if you stole the bike or not.
Yeah.
You stripped the paint and repainted it. It's like, yeah, you stole the bike.
It's high level ceiling. Yeah.
And then the bike just got stolen from me.
Yeah.
And I knew who stole it, but I was just like,
It's their time with it now.
Yeah, it's like, what am I going to confront this guy that lives down the block from me? Mm-hmm. He lives all the way down. He lives 2 sections down.
I dealt with very little bullying in my life because I like pretty much always got along with everyone.
Yeah.
It's like, I was a good athlete and like, funny and like it wasn't I dealt with very little bullying, but the one like major incident of bullying where these kids took my bike and just repeatedly threw it out of a tree as I just stood there. I was just standing there like, come on. Stop it.
I love that. The most kid thing. Like, I'm going to throw it out of a tree. Yeah.
They were just older kids. They just took my bike. They took me off it, and they threw it out of a tree like 35 times.
Jesus Christ.
They had one guy in the tree. They were handing it up to him. He'd throw it down.
System. They rigged up a pulley system. Oh, my God.
Once I had a bike. It might have been this bike, the bike that I didn't steal. I stole the bike.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember one, these kids were like, they did the thing where there was like a bunch of them around me and they were like, oh, cool bike. Like, can I ride it?
Yeah,
and I was just like, yeah, because I didn't want to get my ass kicked by like 6 kids. And I was like, yeah. And there was like, it was like one of those things where I was like, I was friends with one of the kid from the group, but he was not the main kid in the group.
Yeah, so he kind of just said quiet.
Yeah. And then, so the main kid in the group, he was like this kid who was only in my school for like a year or two. And he was like this he looked like an adult.
Right.
But he was like this big, doughy white kid with like bright red hair. And he just like took my bike. He's like, I'm going to ride this bike. And like rode it around. And he was gone for, in my head, what was 20 hours. And what could have been 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
So then I just started sobbing.
Yeah, of course.
Because my bike was stolen. And then he just shows back up with my bike and is like, why are you crying? And I was like, you stole my bike. He's like, here. Yeah. Yeah. Take it back. I just wanted to ride your bike for a minute. And I was just
okay.
Oh, cool. All right. See ya. Just like rode my bike away.
In seventh grade, we got a computer that had a CD burner in it.
Oh, yeah.
And we're like, oh, we'll burn CDs to make money.
Yeah.
So like I had kids in my school like give me a list of songs they wanted to burn. Yeah. And then I would make them for them. And I brought them like, oh, here's your CD. It's $5. And they would just take the CD and leave. And I was like, all right, bullying.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. I'm little. And they're all a bunch bigger than me.
Yeah. I remember that. I remember when that became a thing. Mm-hmm. I'm a little older than you, but I remember when like the kid who started selling.
Yeah.
The first kid who got the CD burner was like the salesman. And I got so many CDs.
Yeah.
It was a free for all.
It really was, because Napster just stole everything.
Crazy. Just anything you want.
Anything you wanted. Yeah. And I remember thinking like it wasn't, I didn't realize it was stealing music. Like I didn't think about it. I wasn't smart enough to recognize like, oh, this is just stealing the music. I remember when Napster stopped being a thing and then like LimeWire came out, but I didn't know how to use it. So I stopped downloading music the second Napster went down.
Right.
But then after it went down, I'm like, oh, I should have been paying for that money because artists made it.
Right.
It's just like that
and they
layer.
Kazaa was one. Well, I think to me what's incredible, it's not incredible that Napster and all those things came out. I get that. Mm. Like I get how technology advances. Things became free as like file sharing developed. What's crazy to me is that the music business like got back on its feet and shut it down.
Yeah.
Like once that is open, once that like the lid is off that fucking genie, whatever analogy I'm trying to make.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of crazy that they
Pandora's
were able
box.
To wrangle it back in and all that down. And like, cause I mean, file sharing is so easy and like, but the fact that they were able to essentially, I mean, not like a real tech guy can still get whatever
but
they want.
But the normal person
but
now, it's
people,
easier to just get Spotify and pay fucking $10.
Most people can't, like don't know how to, you know, do, what do you call it? You have to, where can you get?
Pirating shit?
Where can you pirate shit? What's it called?
Reddit?
No.
4chan?
There's a...
Oh, there was like Pirate's Bay?
Yeah, no, but I'm not thinking of a website. I'm
the
thinking
dark
of
web.
A methodology.
Oh. I got nothing.
I love the dark web.
You're huge on the dark web.
I gotta get more involved.
Yeah.
What the fuck am I thinking of? Well, this is
whatever.
This is great content.
This is great.
This is a guy trying to remember a word.
I mean, that's the majority of our podcast.
Yeah, we're just like, oh, what the fucking thing? Fuck
you
me.
Look it up. Thank you so much, Brennan. Thanks for coming by.
Oh, thanks, man. This is really fun. I'd do
thank
it anytime.
You, Brennan, you could follow him on Airbud, EYREBUD, Airbud, on Twitter and Instagram.
Yeah.
Also, please listen to his podcast. It's the Rad Dude Cast. It's probably my favorite podcast. It's the funniest podcast in the world, I think. I had to stop listening to it on the train because I was laughing out loud, and I hate being that person.
Oh, thanks, man. You're our, you know, you're our, you don't know this, but you're our barometer.
Oh, okay.
You have probably never have never told you
nope.
this, but you're our moral barometer.
Oh, okay, great.
Because I respect your ethics and your kind of code, the way you live your life in terms of what's offensive and what's not. So I kind of I've explained that to Anthony and Greg.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of because the Rad Dudecast is very it's satire, but it's very very inappropriate.
Yeah, it's horribly.
It could be taken as horribly sexist and pedophilia and racist and all these things.
Yeah.
Like it's all satire. But so I've made it clear. Like okay, as long as Diego is still on board,
then we're okay.
Like
yeah.
the moment he's like, "Dude, that was fucking racist," then we gotta rethink something.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. I'm honored.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan.
Now that I've put that on your shoulders.
No, it's okay. I'll still treat it this
way. Okay, but what do I bring to your podcast?
I mean, I had trust in no way to be our moral compass.
Yeah,
are more like me, where I think you would just agree to anything.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Follow Mike Abruzzi at Mike Abruzzi. Follow me at This Diego Lopez. Please check out BrainMachineNetwork.com for all your podcast needs. I would say, why not give us a little 5-star rate and review? It means a lot to us, both in terms of emotionally and helping the podcast grow.
Tell some people about
it. Tell a person you think that likes funny stuff.
Pop us in your Instagram story
if
you're listening.
That'd be huge.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Wouldn't that be a nice thing you did once?
How do you decide what do you put in a story and what do you put in a picture?
Oh, I think story is a smaller thing that's just like, oh, this is kind of interesting or fun or something I'm doing right now, or it's a thirst trap. And pictures are more like, I think, almost promotional or emotionally attached. Like, oh, this is a fun, this is my birthday, or this is, I won a hockey game or something like that. That's
or this is a cool outfit I'm wearing.
Oh, that's a cool outfit I'm wearing.
Okay, so follow up.
Yeah.
What's a thirst trap?
Oh, I'll show you.
A thirst trap is anything, like, if you're particularly horny,
mm-hmm.
yeah,
or just bored or anything, something that you know will...
That picture I posted that you comment on, that's a thirst trap.
Oh, so, like, where you look hot?
Yeah.
To try to get someone to trap someone else's thirst,
mm-hmm.
to get them to respond
it's
to
a
it.
Lure.
Torrent was the word I was trying to remember.
Look at
torrent.
That. Now we can all sleep
Bit
well.
BitTorrent or torrent. Yes. Yeah. I don't know what it is, but that's what I was
that's
trying
what we're,
to remember.
Yeah. Oh, I did a lot of torrenting without knowing that word before.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you so much. Big kiss on the lips. Bye.
I love you. BrainMachineNetwork.com.
BrainMachineNetwork.com.
Bye.
Welcome to BrainMachineNetwork.com.